Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the first part of Dr. Beakey's message on Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 33, on the theme, The Time When the Son of Man is Revealed. This message was originally preached on a National Day of Prayer in the year 2021. However, its message remains quite relevant to what is happening within the United States today. Dr. Beakey will speak of how the time when the Son of Man is revealed is a time of materialism and moral decay. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Dear church family, last Lord's Day, we considered with you Christ's final judgment from a personal perspective. Tonight, we want to look at this from a national perspective. Nationally, the Lord has a great controversy with us. Our sins have reached to the heavens. We are an astonishingly wicked nation. And we peddle our smut, our wickedness around the globe. We, a nation once known for its godliness. And though God promises to preserve His church, a nation can never sin as blatantly, as broadly, as profoundly as our nation is sinning and get away with it lightly. What we have been sowing, we are now reaping. We are reaping it with the kind of leaders that we deserve. And we are reaping it by sinking away in the quicksand of unheard of iniquity. We are in the last times. The time when the Son of Man shall return on the clouds to judge the living and the dead. It's an unprecedented time. The judge stands at the door. And even what has happened as a nation contains a solemn message. But that message is extended to each one of us, for our churches, our families, ourselves, as individuals. And that message is found in what I read to you, Luke 17, 26 to 33. I will read again at this time only verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So with God's help, I want to consider this theme with you. The time when the Son of Man is revealed. The time when the Son of Man is revealed. And we'll look at four thoughts. A time of rampant materialism, 26, 27. A time of rampant decay, 28, 29. A time of final judgment, 30 and 31. And a time of solemn remembrance, 32 and 33. A time of rampant materialism, moral decay, final judgment, and solemn remembrance. In the portion that I read to you, Jesus is telling us exactly how things will be in society, in a nation, when He returns upon the clouds in the last day. And he tells us that it will be just like the times of Noah and of Lot. Of Noah's day, he says in verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. And of Lot's days, verse 28, they did eat and drink and bought and sold and planted and builded. And you might say, well, what's so unusual about these things? These days, we always eat and drink. We always have gotten married in society and did business. Isn't that what peoples have always done? Well, yes. And in many ways, Jesus is implying that in the last day when he comes again, people will be doing ordinary things. He will come like a thief in the night, in a staggering surprise with the sound of a trump, when people are going about their normal daily business. So there's nothing wrong, essentially, is there, with eating and drinking and doing business and people getting married. These things are not sinful in themselves. But you see, the problem with Noah's day and with Lot's day and with our day is that that is all that the people were doing. That's all they lived for. They lived for the things of time and sense. They lived covetous, materialistic lives. And what Jesus is implying is that the crown of creation, you and me, man, we were to live to the glory of God. We were to live God-centered lives through the Messiah, to be purposefully oriented to eternity rather than time, the giver rather than his gifts, and the glory of God rather than our own selfish pleasures. And so we were to live not for the things of time and sense, though we are involved in time and sense. We are to live for the good things of God, for the glory of God. Not a materialistic lifestyle, but a lifestyle of preparation to meet our Savior and our Maker in peace. My dad used to always put it this way in his prayer, Lord, let our lives be nothing but a preparation to meet Thee in righteousness and peace. But what Jesus is saying is when He comes again, the vast bulk of people will be living just like they did in Noah's day when he destroyed the world, and like he did in Lot's day when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. People will be living for the goods of this world, the possessions of this world, the desires of this world. They will be living without God. And that's the tragedy. Even thus, says verse 30, the essence of our text, even thus, like Noah, like Lot's days, when the day of the Son of Man is revealed, it shall be in the same way. Man will be living as if he never fell in Adam, as if he doesn't have to give an account to God, as if he doesn't have a soul destined for eternity. In fact, as if there is no God. It's what we call practical, humanistic, atheistic secularism. He will live for himself. He will be living materialistically. Now, that's not saying there's not some common grace, good things going on in the world. It's not saying that there's not vast and great advancements throughout world history. There was even a trend of advancement in the time of Noah, wasn't there? To the time of Lot. Noah's days, things were still primitive. They ate and drank and got married. But in the days of Lot, they had developed, Jesus says, to also building and planting and buying and selling at a greater level than in Noah's day. Noah's day, the society was primarily agricultural. by Lot's time, it was also commercial. And you see, the problem is not that kind of development. The problem is that in spite of all man's inventions, advancements, knowledge, he is but a fool, unprepared to meet the coming Savior because he doesn't know God. So the prosperity with which God has blessed America means more to America than the killing of nearly a million unborn babies in the wombs of their mothers every single year. You see, we have grown hardened, desensitized to sin. We've grown so used to these large numbers of murders in our land that we don't give it a second thought. We have the blood of countless millions on our hands. And we shrug it off. And we say materialistic prosperity means more to us than biblical morality. Our physical health means more to us than our spiritual health. We turn the cheek the other way. And we say, am I my brother's keeper? Like Cain. We show our greediness for wealth and we call it prudence. We feed our own quest for pleasure and for status symbols and for gratification and for worldly lust. We indulge in a variety of sins under the label of covetousness and we embrace them as if they are no sins. Our pride, our self-emulation, are promoted as virtues rather than vices. And we're quick to be attracted to things that money can buy. Surely, surely, the Lord has every right to say to America today, as he did in Malachi 3:9, ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. We have made our own gods, not gods of wood or stone, the gods of our materialism. And for 40 to 50 years now, we've been living in what scholars call post-Christian America. We live in an amoral America, an America that no longer embraces a standard for moral living, an America that more and more tramples underfoot even the basic Ten Commandments. What a tragedy this is. We've lost the biblical authority of absolutes, the biblical authority of rights and wrongs. We're living in a day, the day of the judges, when every man does that which is right in his own eyes. There are no more biblical mandates for the masses. And you see, the church never escapes completely the culture and philosophy of the world. We too participate in the thinking of the world. We're children of our time and of our age. We too are prone to eat and drink and buy and sell and plant and build without God. Jesus isn't talking only here about the world of unbelievers. He's also talking about too many of his own children embracing too much of this world and backsliding. It's one of the most frightening things, what's going on in the church today. I got back today from Alabama, preaching at a conference of conservatives in a large denomination of North America who are wrestling with what to do with the future of their denomination because most of the ministers in that denomination have embraced some of the philosophy, even some of the gross wickedness that the world has been espousing in recent years. Even so, says Jesus, shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed? That's a problem. That's a major problem. Rampant materialism. Rampant secularism. But Jesus goes on to say that this Noah-like day and Lot-like day will continue in a kind of rampant decay. Notice that in verses 28 and 29. He says, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And again, with Noah, and the flood came and he went into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Even so it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The human race in Sodom and Gomorrah and the human race in the world in which Noah lived so decayed that God's patience came to an end. And God compares here the last days of this world when he will come again to these same days. And when you look at Noah's day and the forgetting of God, and you look at Lot's day and the gross sins that God calls an abomination of sexual perversion that abounded in Sodom and Gomorrah, those days are upon us again. And with a force and an intensity and a rigor that even 10 years ago would have astonished all of us. The human race had degenerated so far in Noah's day and in Lot's day and has in our day that miserable, sinful forms of physical intimacy were engaged in without question. Marriage had to make way for the shameful lusts of the flesh. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes again. And whenever you see a society decaying and self-destructing, a dying civilization, you will almost always see that that civilization is obsessed with immoral physical intimacy. And the physical dimension of life, when that seeps out of the pores of our national life in wicked ways, it's like the dripping of a broken sewer system. Without the Bible as the foundation, even the courts of our land claim they cannot find a common definition as to what pornography and obscenity and homosexuality and all the forms of sexual isms really are. Someone has put it this way: if we cannot agree on the length of a foot, it's because we've lost our yardstick. You see, we've lost the moral yardstick of the Holy Scriptures. We've lost our fabric, our backbone of our society, the decency of living by the Ten Commandments, the inward impulse of our conscience. We've desensitized it with our wickedness and our sexuality. We've abandoned the Word of God, and thereby we've abandoned God Himself. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And tragically, sadly, this is being accelerated also from the top down. What a tragedy. And if you're following the news at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about political things. I'm talking about immorality. This pulpit is not given to political statements, but it is given to admonishing a nation and a people about immorality. And I just want to mention tonight three areas of immorality that are going down into the quicksand in a tragically fast way. The first is this. We are engaging in a full-scale assault against God's created order. A full-scale assault against God's created order. By so blatantly endorsing not only, which is bad enough, but promoting transgenderism, our civil rulers are engaging in a futile attempt to throw off the two genders that God has created. By pretending that a man can become a woman, a wife, and even a mother of all obscene things. Language itself strains itself to the breaking point as they ignore what biology itself teaches them. But today we are opening the door for vulnerable children and teens to be physically harmed and mutilated simply because they feel confused about their sexual identity. And in addition, Mr. Biden issued an executive order reversing Trump's ban on transgenders in the military and issued another executive order, as you know, that mandates a full review of the U.S. Department of Education to ensure compliance with LGBT agenda items. And that monstrosity has been labeled also as part of the Equality Act, which is a top priority for our present government, our present administration, rather. A bill that would force healthcare providers, some of them Christians, to supply hormone therapies, even surgeries, in accordance with so-called sex change procedures. Biological males would then have access to locker rooms, restrooms, shower facilities reserved for females. They would be exposing young women to predatory and perverse men. And all religious hospitals and foster care programs that receive any federal funding would be forced to perform abortions, place children with homosexuals, or be shut down. Religious, biblically moral rights would be summarily trumped by so-called LGBT rights. And combined with this, the present administration has also attacked the family as a God-ordained structure of father, mother, and children, so striking at the very foundation of the common order of society itself, contrary to Romans 1. And so now, homosexuality, which God calls an abomination, is celebrated. And instead of treating it as a natural perversion that brings sorrow and shame and destructive consequences, our government insists not only on polluting our nation with these evils, but also in punishing any nation around the globe that does not embrace what God calls abomination. And so instead of defending the liberty of all people to worship God according to their consciences in this nation and around the world, it pursues legal and judicial means of persecuting its own citizens simply because we act according to our conscience with regard to God's clear directions about human sexuality in His holy word. That's just one area. Our present administration is engaging in a full-scale assault against God's created order. The second area, as far as abortion is concerned, this presidential administration of the federal government is grossly derelict in its sacred stewardship as a servant of God for public good. Instead of defending the vulnerable in the womb, it leads the way for the slaughter of the innocents as hundreds of thousands of children continue to suffer the atrocity of being murdered in the womb of their own mother. Mr. Biden signed into law the largest expansion of taxpayer-funded abortion since Obamacare. And unlike prior COVID-19 relief bills, the so-called American Rescue Plan broke with more than four decades of bipartisan consensus by failing to include the Hyde Amendment protections. Biden also issued an executive order reversing his predecessor's ban on U.S. taxpayer money funding abortion abroad. Did it on the first day of office. The Biden administration also sent a letter to UN ambassadors announcing U.S. withdrawal from a historic pro-life declaration, the Geneva Consensus Declaration, initiated by the former administration and co-sponsored by countries representing regions all over the world. And then, too, our new administration's allies in Congress have refused to bring the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act up for a vote in either chamber. After Mr. Biden famously dodged questions on this popular legislation throughout his campaign. And so now the United States is only one of seven countries in the world, including China and North Korea, to allow abortion on demand beyond 5 months. A point by which scientific research shows babies definitely feel pain. And on top of all that, Mr. Biden announced a commission stacked with pro-abortion ideologues to study the idea of altering the Supreme Court. And days later, Democrats in Congress introduced legislation in both chambers to expand the size of the Supreme Court from 9 to 13. It doesn't take much wisdom to see that abortion is at the center, the murder of our babies is at the center of these efforts. This is abomination in the sight of God. This is moral decay run amok.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, or to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, "Theology is the doctrine of living to God." May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.